And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Always a privilege to come with the Lord's Word to you today. And this week, between Christmas and New Year's, we're entering into the subject of rewards for the Christian life and for Christian service. As we wrap up the year that is behind and as we enter into the new, we want to be assured that it is no vain thing to serve the Lord. Indeed, it is the most profitable employment of all. There's nothing better that you can do in your life than serve the Lord Jesus. As one has said, only what's done for Jesus will last. Only one life to give. I must not miss God's well done. And so I trust that you will be with us through the program today as we deal with this subject, and that the Lord will encourage your heart. Let me say now, thank you for being a listener through the year. And if you have not been in touch, I look forward to hearing from you. Maybe you can send me a short email or give me a phone call. I would just love to know that you are listening into these broadcasts day by day, hearing God's word. And also let me encourage you to ask your friends to tune in, that they too may hear the message of the gospel. And of course, for those who pray, thank you. We thank you in the Lord's name for your prayers for the preaching of the Lord's word here on this broadcast and on our various broadcasts across Canada, Vancouver, Calgary, Swift Current, Portage la Prairie, Manitoba, reaching into those provinces, Toronto, New Brunswick, and into the Maritimes. Stay tuned now for the program today on rewards. Coming back to this chapter, Matthew 19, and we're going to look at Peter's question to the Lord in this passage. Matthew 19 and verse 27, where you have Peter's statement, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" This was the first time that such a question was posed to the Lord so directly. And it comes on the heels of the Lord dealing with that rich young man, the young man who had so much but was unwilling to sell all. And the Lord went to some lengths to explain how difficult it is for the rich in this world to enter into the kingdom of God. And he used that example of the camel passing through the eye of a needle. That seems to be something of a parable that was familiar in that day. Something that is extremely difficult. And of course, for the rich, the famous, those who have much in this world, when they hear the call of the gospel to leave all, forsaking all, and following the Lord Jesus, how difficult it really is. And of course, with men it's impossible, but not with God. We're told that in this passage that we read, for with God nothing is impossible. And you and I know some in this world that although they are blessed and endowed with much materially, standing in society, they have a long-standing heritage and position in this life, and yet they have been willing to be counted among the Christians in this world and have paid a price for it in many ways. And yet they have not thrown away all, but rather they have used it for the kingdom of God and for his glory. But those are the exception. And here now comes Peter. And Peter obviously puts himself in the category of the poor. And as each of the disciples left their boats, their nets, their families, their various employments, and were now living very much hand to mouth, dependent upon the Lord and the generosity of others to support their lives, here is Peter asking the question, "We have forsaken all. What shall we have therefore?" Now, this is much more than just petty childishness. This is a quizzical mind of a solid disciple. Now, we know Peter's tendency to be petulant. He can be brash. He can be rash. But nevertheless, he himself was one who gave up so much that he might be a disciple and a follower of Christ. And so he asked the question that really every disciple wanted to get the answer to. What shall we have, therefore, after giving up things in this life? Now, I come to this passage because I think it's very apt for us at the close of this year. And I would like to think that you have made many sacrifices through the year as a Christian. There are times when doors were open, but you said, "No, I'm a disciple of Christ. I cannot go that way." You have denied yourself of things in this world. You might place yourself in the same category as Peter. You're not exceedingly rich. Thankfully, we can pay the bills from month to month, but what we have left over doesn't add up to much. And so we are very dependent and very needy in this world. And as we make these sacrifices and as we are willing to surrender ourselves as Christians for Jesus' sake and for his kingdom, to do his will at whatever cost, we also ask the question, what shall we have, therefore? And so while it is very direct and bold and was the first that I can think of where this was asked of the Lord, yet it's not out of line. And as we come to the end of this year, you might be asking, has it been worth it? Or maybe as you look over your Christian life from where you were first converted, you see the prosperity of the worldly man, you see the gain of those who compromise, and you look at your own situation and you wonder why. And what shall we have, therefore, after taking this stand and going this route for the Lord? Now, as we ask this question, the Lord has a few things to say to us, just as he did to Peter. And these are the things that we can say are rewards for faithful service. The first thing to notice is the priority of the Christian service, and that is to enjoy the promise of rewards. There's the priority here. Now, I see two statements in the Lord's reply to Peter that gives me this sense of priority. If you look at verse 28, you will see the words, that ye which have followed me, that ye which have followed me. And then on down in verse 29, you will see also the words, given up brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake. Now, there's a lot of things that go on in a fallen, sinful world that hurt us, that set us back, but they are really the common lot of humanity in this world. There's been the earthquake that took place out in the Pacific Ocean just west of Vancouver Island, and a few shocks that came after it as well. There's the typhoon in the Philippines, and I'm sure hundreds and thousands of people affected by that typhoon, and they will struggle for months and maybe years to overcome that devastation. Now, that kind of common tragedy befalls the wicked and the righteous. Hospitals fill up. People become ill. The graveyard becomes full because we live in a world that has fallen. But these are not the things that are mentioned here as rewards. The Lord Jesus is very specific, and he talks about those who follow me and those who give up things for his name's sake. And so the question comes, now as we look back over the year and our Christian lives, what have we given up for following the Lord and for his name's sake? What sacrifices have we made? A Christian is to be an imitator of the Lord Jesus. He is our model, but not for the ungodly, not for the unregenerate. The Lord is speaking here to disciples. And what he says in this passage and over the page in chapter 20 in the parable of the 11th hour, the penny that is received by all the workers, and that's going to be our subject for this evening, that all of these are spoken to believers, regenerate people, people who are born again and who are called to serve the Lord. And we are called to live a new life, to live the virtues of a Christian, to imitate the life of the Lord Jesus, walk as he walked and talk as he talked, not to be saved, but because we are saved, because we're now his, we are sons and daughters in the family of God, and we are called to this new life, to this new walk. Another way of putting it is we're called to bear the fruit of the Spirit, casting off the flesh, the old life, the life of thorns and briars and the sins of this world, that we might bring forth gospel fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, meekness, and so on. All the nine that are listed there in Galatians chapter 5. And as we think of our following discipleship of the Lord Jesus, we need to see if we are indeed living a new life, bringing forth new fruit. Now, I note too that these are willing disciples. They're not driven by persecution away from their houses, lands, family, and friends. If you notice how it is put in verse 29, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake. You will see that the reason there is that they do it not because there's a gun to their head, not because of physical persecution, but of their own readiness and their voluntary desire to be followers of the Lord wherever he may lead. And they make personal, voluntary choices to give up the stability of their home life, of their nearest and dearest mother, father, in some cases a wife, or maybe a wife, a husband. And we know in 1 Corinthians 7, the awful decision that some have to make if they be a disciple of Christ and their wife or husband is an unbeliever. That's a difficult road. And these are people that are willing to not necessarily separate from a spouse, but to live with all the stresses and the strains, all the friction that your vital, joyful Christian life brings into the home, into the marriage. And the Lord is saying in this passage that those who live a new life, bearing the crosses, the hardships, and the cost that is involved, they will in no wise lose their reward. And I wonder if you can identify with this. Now, this is certainly true for missionaries. Missionaries that give up their homeland, go to live in a foreign culture with people of a foreign tongue. Never easy. It can take years to assimilate. And you know what it's like when you are in that situation for a while, nostalgia kicks in. And you think of home as if it's dreamland. And then when you make a visit, you find out it's not so dreamland at all, that you've been better off being away, perhaps. Nevertheless, there's all these emotions, and there's all these tensions. But it is the things that we do for Jesus' name. That's the priority. And of course, we need to explain when we do leave loved ones, we're doing it for Christ. We're not doing it to be awkward or to be merely adventurous. We're not doing it to get away, but we're doing it because we must serve Christ. And this is the priority that the Lord establishes right here. And as you, I trust, have lived with that priority through the year that has gone by, praise God, there are rewards. Praise God, there are blessings. And there are helps that the Lord gives to his people. And if we dare to look forward to the year to come, and maybe there will be some very difficult, hard decisions, some challenges, some doors that will close, or some call that will open up, and you will make sacrifices to prioritize your life, to put Christ first, self last, and to deny yourself. And I point out here, it's those that are doing this to follow Christ, to be his disciple, and that are doing so for his name's sake. Then we come to the promised position in paradise. The promised position in paradise. Look at verse 28. Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration. Stop right there. The regeneration. Now, in gospel preaching, we normally use that word regeneration to do with the new birth, being born again, of being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But if you read this text very carefully, you will see that the context of that word applies, as you read on, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. And so that regeneration is the end of the world, when he will make all things new. There will be new heavens and a new earth, and sin will be no longer, and there will be a new world order. It will be righteousness, and the Lord will reign from his throne in glory. And so this is the blessed and wonderful hope of the Christian. And the Bible is filled with tremendous teaching that in that regeneration, when the Lord appears in his glory, that the Christian is going to gain. It'll be a day of reward. We're told here that we shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now you just tell that to the world. You just go out and tell people, did you know that I'm a judge? And I'm not only a judge here on earth, but I'm going to be a judge in glory. I'm going to sit on a throne with Christ and with the Christians, and I'm going to have a part in that assize of judging men and angels. You read of that again in 1 Corinthians, that know ye not that ye shall judge angels. This is the great privilege of the Christian who follows the Lord Jesus. And we have these eternal assurances that we, if we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. Now, if you don't believe that today, you're going to be defeated. When the cross is laid on you and the suffering comes, there's no way that you're going to endure, because you'll say, it's not worth it. But the Lord was impressing upon these disciples that whatever you suffer here on earth, it is incomparable with the glory which you shall enjoy in heaven. Now, there are some key passages that teach us this in the Bible. In Romans 8:17, I'd like you to turn this up, take a look at it for yourself, and see how this is part of our Christian hope as followers of the Lord Jesus. Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Peter's asking, what shall we have therefore? A poor man that has forsaken all for Jesus' sake, left houses, lands, family, and many other things for a life of instability in this world, a life of reproach and persecution. And the Lord says, if you suffer with me, we shall also be glorified too.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more poverty. today, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through. Today, glorious day that will be. There is coming a day when no sunset shall come, no more curse in the soul, no more death bells ever toll. All is life. Eternal ages roll. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be reunion there in the upper garden fair, loved ones gather round his feet. What a joy delight. What a day, glorious day that will be.
This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church with Let the Bible Speak here in Canada. I want to sincerely thank you for your listening through the year, and I trust that the Lord is with you day by day to comfort and strengthen you. And I know that these are fearful times for God's people and times when we need our earnest trust in the Lord. And I'd like to pray that God will be with you to keep you and bless you in these times. Father, we thank thee that we can lift our hearts to thee in our times of fear and in our times of need, that the Lord Jesus is real and near unto your people. For thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I thank thee today that the Lord Jesus is with us as our Emmanuel at all times. And I pray that you will watch over each and every listener, and today draw near to comfort hearts, bless families, answer prayer, and give us the grace we need in this present pandemic to keep on keeping on. Thou said that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Help us to take one day at a time, putting our trust in the name of the Lord. So hear our prayer and our cry. Answer for us now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, of course, for all the details concerning our broadcast and our church services, you can go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And right now we are doing online services, and we invite you to join with us Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Vancouver time.